have your Bibles or your app or YouVersion or whatever way you are going to look at the scriptures with, if you would please turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Again, you can find that on your church app. There's a cool little button down there at the bottom. You can find your Bible. You can also take notes during the messages. It's a pretty accessible thing for you guys to use. Here we are in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. We start off, and it says, "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. He said, 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies at home paralyzed and suffering terribly.' Jesus said to him, 'Shall I go and heal him?'" How many of you just like, sometimes when you read scripture, you just look at it and you're like, come on, Jesus. Like, don't you know? But why are you asking? So we're going to continue reading on, but it's one of those things, I just look, every time I see Jesus asking like an obvious question, it's like, Jesus, you're supposed to know all. Like, come on, come through here for me. It says, "The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am myself a man under authority, and soldiers under me. I tell this one to go, and he goes. I tell this one to come, and he comes. I say to my servants, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, 'Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown aside, outside, unto the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" In verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, let it be done just as you believed it would.'" Remember that portion. "And the servant was healed at that moment." Let us pray. Father God, as we walk into this place, as we're in this place right now, it would be safe to say that there are different situations and different circumstances in front of us. Lord, there are those that are in victory right now. There are those that are praying for victory. And then those that are just struggling right now. So, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, I pray that each and every one in this place would draw closer to you and closer to each other. Lord, that is our desire, is to hear from your word and apply it to our lives and put it into action. So, Lord, I pray that the words that you have put in to this message, Lord, would be communicated clearly today. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm here to tell you that Christianity is more than an experience. So many times as Christians, we go from experience to experience to experience. Maybe it's an experience at an altar, it's an experience at a youth camp, or it's an experience at a revival service, a Sunday night, a Sunday school, but it's an experience that happens. And then when that experience kind of dwindles away, we wait and we wait and we wait and we run and try to find the next experience. Here in this story, we see the centurion reaching. Did I say that? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought I heard someone say something like, no. We see the centurion. Sorry, hearing voices. It's okay. We see the centurion going on behalf of his servant. There's sometimes that you may not be strong enough to go to the Lord on your own behalf. That's why it's important about the influence you have around you. Do you have people that are going to help keep you paralyzed? Or are you going to have people help you go to the one that they know can heal you? There's a difference in that. And so, once again, I'll say Christianity is not an experience alone. Experiences are important. And I'll be one to tell you, I love camps. I love those things when God challenges and changes hearts and lives. But it can't stop there. It has to go on. What if our experience is more than just a song or a hymn or an altar or a room or you fill in the blank when you experienced God? What if it's more than that? And what if that experience isn't even for that moment, but it's for something to come? Because sometimes we experience things for what is about to come. So today, I want to challenge you that we have to understand that it is not just the experience that makes us a Christian. It is not just the experience that gets us through, but it's the presence in the Holy Spirit. And it is knowledge of who God really is. On Thursday night, actually Friday night, I'm sorry, Friday night, Megan and I had a little scare. You know, Isabel's home, and for those of you that don't know, she's on oxygen 24/7, all the time, hooked up at home. She's on a feeding tube as well. But the point that I want to make here is the other night, her stats started going low. She's hooked up to heart monitors and oxygen monitors at night. And so it started going low. So we're up and we're trying to figure out what's going on. We're changing hoses. We're doing everything we can to figure out why is she de-statting. Then I said, you know what? Let's get a portable tank, hook it up, because this machine, there's something not working. Let's test her stats, because if it didn't come back up, a trip to the emergency room is what it is. And so I said, we need to see what's going on. We hook her up to the tank itself, the portable tank, and everything levels back out. Then I begin to say, okay, God, what was going on? And God, I don't know if it was just for this moment that I'm here to share it, but I'll take it if it's that reason. But what I begin to realize is that machine wasn't putting out oxygen. The flow was cut off for some reason or another. So I started to think, God, how many times have I let my flow with you get cut off? Now, here's the thing. A lot of us in this place, we don't get close enough to those that can monitor, so we will never know until it's a disaster. And so here's the thing. We get cut off from the oxygen. We get cut off from the spirit. We get cut off from those things, but yet we're not in those circles that can help us. We're not in those things that can say, you know what? It's just a little off, because we've cut the flow. So I want to challenge you. Allow the flow of God to move in your life. Allow the presence and spirit of God to flow in your life. Dallas Willard says it this way. He says, the more spectacular God has to speak to get someone's attention is proof of that person's spiritual immaturity. The more drastic God has to speak to get your attention, you're not really spiritually mature. Why do we always have to wait for those big things to happen before we trust and believe God? Trust Him and believe Him in the small. And watch Him do what He can do. C.S. Lewis says it this way, and I like this. It says, I have discovered within myself a desire. I'm sorry. If I have discovered within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was not made for this world. I was made for another world. How many of you are glad you're not made for this world? This world doesn't understand you, and it never will. Because even Scripture says it in John chapter 15, verse 18, says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. It's time for the church, it's time for Christians, it's time for us to rise up and stop letting culture dictate our, for culture not to dictate our ethics and our morals and our standards. It's time for us to start dictating what that should be for them. Now, do I believe there's ways to do it in love? Yes. I don't believe that every battle is our battle. Pastor's been talking beautifully about the armor of God and putting on the armor of God, and he will return to that next week. But here's the thing. You go into battle ready, as Pastor has been talking about, putting on the armor, putting on truth, putting on those things so that you know when it's your battle. And if you don't know when it's your battle, then you're going to be fighting every battle, and you get distracted. We are not made for this world. But here's what I want to challenge us. You and I need to live to our higher calling, but not just our higher calling on Sunday mornings. I want to challenge you Sunday morning cannot be your highest spiritual level. Most of us use Sunday morning as our highest spiritual level, but it should be your secret time. I'm not telling you when to have it or how to have it, but I'm telling you, you need to have it. If you don't have your time with God, you're missing it. You're missing the point of it all. We are called for more than we are experiencing. We are called for more than we are living. We are called for greater than this. The experiences that the centurion and the servant had, they weren't just for that moment. His healing didn't just happen in that moment. It helped him sustain the rest of his life. What if the healing that you receive at an altar isn't just so that you can stop worrying about that situation, but you can walk free and you could live free in that situation and you can rise above it? So today I want to challenge us with the four E's. I make it simple. The four E's that every experience and encounter should drive us and move us towards. And the first E is it should engage us. If your experience with God and your moment with God doesn't cause you to become engaged with God and with the Holy Spirit, you've missed it. Each and every one of us need to be engaged. What does Webster say? I love what Webster says. It says, to get or keep someone's attention. What if God has you go through that experience? Or what if God allows you to experience Him in a new way to get your attention and to keep it? But how many of you, if you're honest in this place, you pray for something, you receive the blessing, and then you're done with it? It's on to the next thing, right? I heard it said this way: what if we begin to praise God as much as we pray to God for something? What if we praised Him the same? What if, as earnest as you are to pray that God would heal your daughter like I did, what if I were to say, you know what, I'm going to praise you the same because you did heal her. You healed her before we even saw the healing happening. Because the Spirit is caused to engage us. But not just engage us in our own self. It's to engage you with others. As the new series Arise, it's called for encouragement. It's not just us that any of these things happen. It's because it's for others. We are there to engage in others. There's another point of engagement. And it's engaging in your local church. I can't encourage you enough that there are ministries growing. There are more kids showing up on a Sunday. There are more kids in nursery. There are those things that when you have a presence and you have a spirit, encounter with God and experience with God, why not share it with the coming up generation? Why not get plugged in? Why not be engaged as the Spirit has called us to be engaged? So I want to challenge you, be engaged in the Spirit. You and I must understand that it's not always just about us. The experiences we have, the attitudes we have, the things that we have isn't just about us. God wants us to also engage in battle, as we had mentioned. God is trying to keep your attention and your interest. God wants more of your relationship than you and I are willing to even give at this point. And some of you are saying, you know, I pray so much. I read my Bible so much. I do this. Guess what? God wants more. Wherever you're at, He wants more. And want may even be a strong word. He desires more. Why does He desire? Because He loves fellowship with you and with me. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Are you conscious of what the Spirit desires outside of Sunday or Sunday school or, you know, that Monday morning? Are you still conscious of what the Spirit desires in your life? Am I still conscious on a Monday morning that I'm not writing a sermon, that I'm doing the busy work or the other stuff? Am I still conscious of what God desires of me? It goes for all of us. I don't care who you are. No one has arrived beyond that. Because it says the flesh, it wants you. There's a illustration that I heard, and it made me ponder and think, because many times, how many of you have ever heard that You come to church, you get filled up, you go home, you come back, you get filled up, you go home, you come back. Anyone ever heard that analogy where, you know, you go empty out, you come back, get filled up, and that's what the church is about. That's what the Holy Spirit does, right? I've preached it, I've taught it, but I want to challenge us with it. What if instead of being like a car, we get filled up, we run it out, we fill it up, we run it out? What if instead we would be like the third rail system? For those of you who don't know what the third rail system, it's like the metros and other systems run on it. And as long as it's connected to that third rail, it has power. It doesn't need recharge. It doesn't need refueled. It doesn't need those things because it's connected to that third rail. What if you and I stayed connected to the third rail of the Holy Spirit? What if we stayed connected to those things and we begin to flow and move and function in the Spirit and begin to live it out on a daily basis? How would your life and my life look drastically different? How would, a couple weeks ago, when Isabel was coming home, a couple things happened that week. Get a screw in the tire, the sink breaks, have a great landlord, but the sink breaks, get a squirrel in the attic. How come when you live in the Spirit, those things begin to happen? I just started laughing, honestly. It was one of those things when I was like, I hear water running. And I'm just like, okay, of course, today. Tomorrow Isabel comes home. Today, yes, I understand. But it's those things. The situation isn't what dictates your mood or your attitude. It's the Spirit that's in you and that lives in you. The Spirit is, number two, the Spirit is to encourage us. It is sent to encourage us. Why do we have the Spirit? It's an encourager. Why do we have the experiences here and there? To encourage you to keep on going. How many of you have ever had a moment of being discouraged ever in your life? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. So let's try it again. How many of you have ever had a moment of discouragement? I'm not going to ask you if you had a moment of discouragement today before you walked into church and then you put the face on, as the women's ministry tea says, put the mask on. We all do it. Come on, right? How many of you ever put a mask on before you walked into church? Just had an argument, just had a disagreement, just had something. You put a mask on, right? We lift our hands, yes, Jesus. And we're still messing with it. But we rise above it because it encourages us. I love what Webster's also said in this. It says, to make someone more likely to do something, to tell or to give advice to do something. The Holy Spirit is there to encourage, but encouragement isn't just a, that a boy. It is, no, you should do this. This is what I'm challenging you. This is what I'm encouraging you to do. What if we started listening to the Holy Spirit more than we listen to others? Got quiet, but that's okay. Tap your neighbor and say, listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, a couple of you did it. Good, thank you. We often try to recreate the experience. How many have ever had a great experience in God and you were just thinking, man, what did I do that day? It's like the young basketball player that wore certain socks or certain, you know, shorts that day, and they got to wear those every day because that day he scored so many points, right? Have you ever seen that? Where someone gets in a thing, you know, I'll put our rally caps on in baseball, turn it inside out, look stupid, but put it on because we're going to win this, right? What if God is our encouragement and the only encouragement we need? What if we begin to trust his word at what it says and not what we think it says? Or we trust it for what it says and not what someone else told us it said. Because there's been many times, and I tell the students every week on Wednesdays, I say, guys, when I preach something, I want you to challenge it with what you read the scripture. Don't just believe it because I say it. Because I could get up and say all kinds of stuff. Now, I wouldn't, but I could. The Holy Spirit is your encourager. If we try to live on just the experience alone, it will cause us to give up our Christian life. You won't keep going with it if you just live for experience. It'll feel like a roller coaster. Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor Chris, I love roller coasters. Not in your life, you don't. Not in your emotions. Not in your spirituality, you don't, because it's ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. But what if we started staying like that third rail, connected to the Holy Spirit?
and we don't disconnect from it, and we receive the power that he's given us. What if our encouragement in our encounter was more than just for the current moment? There was a saying, and this is what it says. It says, rules lead to legalism, formulas lead to mechanical Christianity, and experience alone and all by itself leads to emotional roller coasters. Now, do I believe rules are important? Rules are important. Formulas work. Formulas are important. Many of you in this room, you may use formulas to do your job daily. Formulas are important. Experience is important. But if that is the only thing that we live by, we are missing it. It's been said this way. It says, however, if you think and live by the experiences that lead you, and you live by those experiences alone, you are living a substandard Christian life. If you live by those experiences alone. How many of you have ever been driving down the road and before you realize it, someone's like flashing their lights as they're coming at you? And you're like, what are they, what? And then you get on up and you realize why they told you, because you're pulled over behind a couple other lights, right? And so that was a warning. The Holy Spirit is also like a warning. The Holy Spirit comes along and says, hey, you're getting a little close to the edge. It's like that detour sign that says cliff ahead, or it says go this way because there's road work ahead, but you ignore it. Most of you wouldn't ignore a sign that says cliff ahead. But how can we do it in our spiritual life? When God's flashing the light, he's saying, son, daughter, stop, pause, don't go that way anymore. Danger is ahead. But we do that and we continue to go to it. The encourager, he encourages to avoid danger. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Say that word with me. Say those two words, living hope. It's not dead. It's not past. It's living. Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Guys, we celebrated Easter a few weeks ago, but some of us, we stopped celebrating the resurrection of our Lord then. That Sunday when we walked out the door, we stopped celebrating the resurrection. We stopped living for the hope that is in us and the hope that's been given to us through Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you, live for the hope. Remember, hope is a noun. It's not a verb. Hope is something you have. It's not something you do. It's something you have in something that's greater than you. We need to understand that hope is beyond that. I want to challenge you, don't let the thoughts and actions of a few become the only thoughts you hear. Listen to the encouragement of the Lord. Read his scripture. Ask him. See what he's telling you. Don't listen to just the thoughts of a few and claim it for your life. I've said this illustration in youth before, but it's like those Clipper magazines that come and those coupons that come. They all come to everyone's house. Most of us throw them away, right? Sometimes I do. I like to coupon. You all know that. I won't talk about that story. But sometimes we get the coupons out, and I'll take it. That coupon is not applied to my account and not into me until I receive it and use it. We need to stop taking and receiving things that people are saying and doing to us and stop receiving it and stop using it and keep acting and living it out. If we begin to say, you know what? This is trash. We recognize it for what it is, and we put it where it belongs. You and I should do that, because that's what the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in those moments of encounter and those moments of experience encourage us to do. Number three, the Holy Spirit and those experiences that we have are made to equip us. What good is it if we have the experience and we're not equipped to do anything after that? The Holy Spirit is made to equip us. The word equip, to provide someone with the necessary materials and supply. The experience you have and the experience I have and the Holy Spirit that we have, it's those necessary tools. It's those necessary things we need to survive. It's those necessary things that we need to, earlier, as we said, engage in others. It's those necessary things that help us to speak and to encourage others. It also says to prepare for a particular activity or problem. How many of you have ever had a problem in your life? Right? What if we started realizing that the experience that we have on a Sunday is to help us with that problem? It's not to always fix the problem or take the problem away, but it's there to help us go through it. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Don't be a fool. Listen to the instruction. Listen to the wisdom that God gives and that others sometimes give to you. I'm not saying that every time someone speaks to you, I'm not saying that everyone comes to you and talks to you, that that stuff needs to be discarded, but there are times when you and I need to listen to those things. I can't express enough how important experience is, but how important knowledge is also. Look at your neighbor, tap your neighbor, and say, "I feel." Now tap your other neighbor and say, "I know." Okay, there's a difference in those two words, right? Or those two phrases. How many of you have ever said, "You know, I feel like God can do this"? Anyone ever say that? We do. What if we started saying, "I know God can do this"? There's a difference. What if we begin to know Scripture, we begin to know what God's Word says, and we begin to speak it? And you begin, because feeling can get you so far, but feeling can also let you down. Many of us in this place, we've had feelings get us in a bad place. We've had feeling get us in a wrong place. But when we know, we know. And feeling won't change what you know. So when you experience something with God, if you know what God says about you, you know what God is saying and what His Word says, the feeling won't change the know. Many of you, if I were to ask you, would you go to a doctor that does not have education, does not have a degree, but has great experience? Anyone going to go to that doctor? Now, if I was in youth, there would be some, "Yeah, that would be awesome. I would do it," because they try to ruin every illustration that I give just to throw me off. And they do it, and it works sometimes. I won't tell you the one I did the other week that they didn't know what I was talking about. But here's the thing. We go to a doctor that has experience and knowledge and a degree. Why do we do that? Because there's trust in that. What if we stopped banking our spirituality and our Christian walk on just the experience, and we begin to get into the Word and know what God says? We begin to become studied and well-adversed in what His Scripture says and what it says that we can do. What if we did that? Touch your neighbor again and say, "I know." There's a difference in "I know" and "I feel." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." How many of you have ever at work or at home, you've done a project of some sort, and you weren't as pleased about it, right? Or let's put it in this allegory. Maybe you baked some cookies. You baked something. You were supposed to bake them for someone else, but then they didn't turn out so well. So what did you kept it for yourself or your home, and you made a new batch for them, right? Because we're ashamed of our work. How many of you have ever been ashamed of some kind of work you've done? What did you do? You want to hide it. You want to cover it up. What does the Scripture say? It says, don't be ashamed of your work, but do good work, right? We need to know what God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Many of you, as you came in today, you were probably wondering and you're thinking, "I was forgetting about it." You got your magnifying glass, right? So they are a little smaller than I thought they were when I ordered them online, but that'll work. I want everyone in here to take yours, and whatever you're looking at the Scripture with today, whatever, if you're using your Bible, the app, or the real Bible, paper Bible, because they're all the real Bible, but the paper Bible, take and magnify the verse that we read. Look at it, right? I see some not doing it. And I have a mic, I can call you out. Just anything in the Scripture, that's fine. Just magnify any words on your text. Okay? Everyone did it? Those that care to do it, did it? Okay. Here's the thing. How many of you actually changed the text size in your Bible? Okay, you changed it by this, but how many of you retyped it, you made it bigger, you changed the font? How many of you did that? No, it looks bigger because what? You magnified it. I want to challenge you in this place because in the scripture, here's what I want us to read in Psalms 34, verse 3. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your situation is what you're magnifying. That's why it seems so big. Start magnifying the Lord, and I wonder what then you will see. Because if we begin to take this, when I hold it there, I'm not changing what I'm seeing. I'm changing what I'm seeing, but I'm not changing what's actually there. When you begin to magnify the Lord, you aren't changing what he is or who he is. You are changing how you see him. And if we begin to change how we see God, we will live differently. It's not about the experience, it's about what you know. The last and final point is our experience in the Holy Spirit is there to expand us. Our experience that you have at an altar, the experience that you have in your secret room, the experience you have, it is caused to expand you. And you say, well, why should I be expanded? I don't know. Ask God why you need to be expanded in that situation. Because I am not God, and I don't know why you are expanded in that situation, but I do know why we are expanded at times. Excuse me. Webster says, to increase size, range, amount, and to become bigger. What if we begin to allow God to take the size that he really is over our situations? What if it's not the experience and not the size of the experience that determines our size and our belief that God is? Because sometimes we can have a great experience. And some of you can walk out of this place today and you're like, I didn't experience God. Well, you weren't looking for him. You weren't searching for him. You weren't applying what you know to him. I want to challenge you with that. There's a free diver that was working on making this largest free dive. And for those of you who don't know what free diving is diving at depths free of oxygen, of a tank, of, you know, of any kind of support. He was going to go 300 feet beneath the surface. That's a pretty extensive amount. So in this documentary and this story that was put, what happens then, it shows this guy getting prepared, what he does. And I'm not going to do all the things that he did. He did some different stretches and moves, and he began to take breaths. He began to pretend like he's eating the air, began to expand his lungs. Why was he doing that? Because when he goes down to the depths of 300, they become the size of little grapefruits or little oranges. Not even grapefruits, but little oranges. Because of the pressure from the outside. So he began to fill his lungs some more. And when one of the interviewers looked at him, they began to ask, why do you do so much? He said, because when I go down so far, the pressure is so much that if I don't prepare the inside, they'll crush. What if spiritually we're the same? What if we don't bite into the Word of God? We don't bite into the presence of God, and we don't allow those things to expand our lungs. As we sing the song, Lord, be the breath in my lungs. What if we begin to do that? Because you know what? The pressure's coming. Things are coming. Situations are coming. Things that I can't handle on my own. But you know what? I filled my lungs with the Scripture. I filled my lungs with the presence of God that those things won't crush me. What if we were no longer crushed by the things that we used to be crushed by? What if we were no longer overcome by the things that we were overcome by before? Because not only is it an experience, but it is understanding a knowledge of Christ and knowing who he is. We need to understand who God is. Remember back in verse 13 of our opening text, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. What if God is saying in this moment, let it be done just as you believed? And he put it in your court. He put it in your hands. How much do you believe? Do you believe? Do you think it's there? What if we understood that we live for less than Christ died for and we die for less than he lived for? What if we understood that? That too many times we are living for less than he died. And then we begin to die to things that he didn't even live for. We die to things and we sacrifice ourselves for these things that God's saying, why are you wasting your time and energy? Give it away. I want to challenge you with this last thought. There was one day this young man sitting on the bank, standing, watching these two guys out in the middle of this massive, massive lake and body of water. And they're in a boat, and any of you that like to fish and like to boat, you're painting the picture nicely because you just think about that time you were last fishing. Might have been yesterday, a couple years ago, whenever it was, but you remember just being out there and it's peaceful, right? Well, the boat starts to come towards this young man, and this young man is looking at the boat come towards him, but he also notices over to his right this SUV. Trunk is open, and he looks in there, and there's this huge chest there. There's this huge container full of money. And to spare any debate on how much was there, it was $1 million in this chest. And the thing is, these two guys finally get out of the water. They pull their boat up just a little bit, tie it down, anchor it down. And they motion to the young man, come here, come here, come here. He's like, okay, I'll come. They got a lot of money. I'm coming. So that he goes over to them. And as the young man goes over to them, they say, hey, can you help us get this into the boat? He's like, okay, they're money. They're powerful. I'll do it. I'll help them. And plus, I'm just a nice guy. I'll help them. So they close down. They fasten this chest full of money. They completely seal it tight. They get it on the boat. The young man stays back on the bank, and they go out in the middle of the water. The boy's watching, and he's looking off in the distance, and he sees them pick up the chest and throw it over the boat into the water. The young man's thinking, oh my goodness, what are they doing? I mean, how many of you have a thought right now of what they're doing with that $1 million, throwing it over, right? There's all kinds of thoughts going through your mind. Some of you are thinking, well, that was dirty money, or, you know, you're going through all these different things. The two guys come back to the side of the bank. They tie the boat up. As they're walking up the bank, they look at the young man. They say, it's all yours. And they get in the SUV, and they go. What would you do? You're not going to take your eye off of it. You're going to get whoever you can to get there and help you get it. You're not going to take your eye off of that. Sometimes I ask and I wonder why in church we hear so clearly what God's asking us and we take our eye off of it and we walk out the door and we're never changed. We never experience more than what's even in that chest. So I want to challenge you today. God has been speaking and God has been moving in your life, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come as they would. But God's been speaking and he's been moving. I'm going to ask you, don't take your eye off of it and respond to it. And do exactly what God is saying. I'm not saying do what I'm saying or do what I'm doing, but do what the Spirit's leading you to do. And respond and receive something greater than what was even in that chest. For your life and for your spirit. If you'd bow your heads with me. Today your eye has been on the prize and God has been speaking clearly to you. And some of us in this room, he's been challenging us to lay things down and start magnifying others and other things and magnifying who he is and what we know about him. But the reality is there'll be some in this place that will get up and leave. and not answer what God has called you to answer. And I want to read this last verse. This is with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I want to read this last verse to you. It says Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better that you not make a vow than to make one that you do not fulfill.